So, hi everyone. So, welcome to F116, and this is the first time we make the podcast series. And F116 is where we find common ground from different perspectives and different culture. So today our topic is relationships, marriage, and family. I think it's a very popular topic to talk about, especially in campus. So let's introduce our moderator.
Hi everyone, I'm Ling. I'm from Columbia SBS. So I'm happy to be a moderator today to moderating the topic about multicultural relationships on campus.
All right, so introduction time?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take the mic. So hi, I'm Anson. I'm a senior at the engineering school. People call it CEES here, just for the audience who aren't really familiar with the Columbia acronyms. And I study operations research. I'm graduating in a month.
My name is Michael. I'm in GS, obviously, usually for older students. I'm a junior in political science, hopefully to do law. And I'm really excited to be here to, I guess, share my perspective.
I'm Arturo. I'm in Columbia College, and I'm studying English and end-of-year studies with a minor in history, pre-law.
My name is Dima. I'm a junior at Barnard College and I study anthropology.
Yeah, and I'm Jessica. I'm a sophomore at Barnard and I'm studying econ and computer science.
Yeah, so cool. Let's begin.
Yeah, so because it's going to be like about multicultural relationships, so do you mind to introduce more about like your background, where you're from, and your experience with like wanting relationships in your life?
All right, I guess I'll start again. So I was born and raised in Beijing, China until I was 15. And then I came to the U.S. I have spent times in North Carolina, Vermont, and New York City. I perceive myself to be pretty multicultural because when I was still in China, I did travel a lot abroad to Europe, Australia, the United States, and pretty much all parts of the world. And having the experience of living in both countries for quite a long time, right? I have been in the U.S. for like 8 years now. So I truly embrace multiculturalism, and I see myself or identify myself as like a multicultural person for sure. I'm happy to go deeper in multiculturalism fits into relationship and marriage afterwards.
Cool.
So in my case, it is pretty multicultural, just in the sense. So I was born here in the States. My mom is American, white American. My dad's from Argentina. I did live some of it in the United States, some in Argentina, back to back for several years. I think it's very interesting. I think everyone should live in the third world at some moment for a bunch of different reasons. And I'm married, and I'm married to someone who is has Nicaraguan background, so it's Central America, that's a little bit different as well. But I'm very fascinated by how every single country in the world does things, what their cultures, subcultures, and stuff like that. It's very fascinating.
I'm young, I'm fresh to the sixth, I come from a background, I'm Mexican, and I come with like deep roots within the Mexican culture, and relationships and marriage is something huge. When like you're growing up, because like, when are you gonna get married? When are you gonna get into the relationship life and everything? And when are you like, are you gonna stay within the race? So it's like a moment where like, it's been part of my identity growing up the whole time. So it's like a moment where I'm like, So that's why I kind of did this. So I'm like, you know what? Let's get a little taste about what everyone's perspective is. Cause me, it's basically part of my identity, like within the Mexican culture, because it's something that is strictly like taught upon us within families.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like I'm fresh to the game, basically. I'm young.
That's okay. You're young.
Cool. Okay, so my parents and older brother they immigrated from Lebanon, but I was born in Michigan. Then I moved to Massachusetts, and then I spent a year in California for school. Then I transferred here. So I feel like I guess I'd say I'm Arab American, and like that's just I guess my Arab background is really important to me. But I also feel American in many ways, and I've been around like West Coast, East Coast, and the Midwest. So yeah, I feel like I have a good idea of different parts of this, at least this country.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, I think thank you very much for sharing. I think we are going to have like very diverse background and also experience in this topic today. So I hope that we are going to have a very meaningful conversation. So let's start with our first questions. So lots of college students today, they say that it's hard for them to look for partners. So do you think that the unbalanced things lie in sex or difference in age range in the population stop you from looking for partners, or any like high barriers do you think that is a barrier right now for you to looking for a relationship? Mm-hmm. Who wanted to start first? Maybe we can break the rule a little bit.
A common barrier, like... I feel like it would be like your culture and your backgrounds is a huge barrier, with, like, with going through the dating
wise
and everything. I think that's like something very huge, because like, I don't know, it's like common, it's like common, like common sequencism between everyone, but like, oh,
yeah,
you're with this person from a different background, and then you're here, like, you're like breaking a stereotype and everything. So like, it's like common barriers, like just breaking the stereotypes, while it's really hard, because then we'll meet person, people from my background will be like, oh, why? It's always a question, why? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, it's just a human being at the end of the point. So I'm like, I just feel like that's a common barrier between everyone. It's like the culture, right? Like your background.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I actually have a question. So who here is single?
Is this sensitive questions?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, if I were to answer this question, I think we should consider the fact that like if someone is like actively looking for a partner but like couldn't find one, compared to someone who currently have a partner, you know, on campus, like the perspective could be quite different. And when we bring into multi, you know, the culture aspect, I totally agree with what Arturo was saying, is that, you know, as like I identify myself as a Chinese, and like, you know, among the Chinese student population here on campus, I feel like Chinese students tend to date Chinese students. It's rare to see like the Chinese student population to go beyond, you know, the cultural group. And it's a pretty interesting thing. To me, like personally, I do feel that I am more, you know, like, I'm not sure comfortable is the right word here, but, you know, like hang out with people from the same culture, it feels more natural, to me. Yeah. And yeah, this is my thought on this.
Yeah. So I see that we have like the same ideas about the multicultural background. Where is the first barrier in your building relationships with others?
I do agree with that. You feel it's real more natural, more comfortable. Like, I do understand that, because it's like kind of hard being with someone from like a different background. It really is hard. Like, I do.
Yeah, like one example is like, you know, especially back in high school when I first came here, you know, there are my American friends, when they, you know, bring up a joke about, I guess, a cartoon that they watched, you know, when they're little, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, you know, like stuff like that. It's, yeah, it's hard to be fully merged until like you have spent time with in this country for an extended period. And not like, even to this day, after like 8-9 years, like there are still jokes that I just don't understand, or, you know, I haven't been exposed to yet. Yeah.
I see. Marco, how do you think?
So I thought to preface it with the fact that, once again, I am married, but I do believe that perhaps culturally, Argentina actually might be a little bit of an outlier when it comes to the decision of being with different cultures. I think that we actually don't like to be with people of our own culture, or at least less than other countries. And I do think it's more interesting to be with somebody who is in a culture that is probably as diametrically opposed to mine as possible. So I can get different views of the world. I think it's a more interesting thing. Are there barriers? Yes, but I think if you're open-minded, I think that there's always ability to learn about whatever the cartoon is. Maybe the cartoon is very interesting. I'm not opposed to learning a different language or doing what I need to do, you know, to be able to communicate with a partner. And then personally, I've never had trouble with dating in general, so.
That's something else. Yeah, I would like with Michael about the part of like trying to be like, it's always nice to like have relationships, like building our relationships with Montreal background, because we always see and learn something. Mm-hmm. My background is in tech, where we are so diverse, so we see that it's like a very energetic and interesting thing to like explore and know different cultures and work with them. So it's going kind of being interesting. But come back to one point that Anson mentioned earlier about these segments who are so single, but I think we also have barriers. Like we also have barriers that we don't start a relationship. So maybe like you prioritize other things rather than a relationship. So how do you think about that, Tima? Maybe we go first.
About prioritizing things other than relationships?
Yeah.
Well, okay, this is, I just got out of a very long-term relationship, and it's so interesting to see how much more time, like it was 3 years, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much time to prioritize like my friendships, my classwork, like myself. So I think like now with that contrast of being like, okay, when you're in a relationship, just how much like time of your life it takes, even if you try to like not make it your number one thing in your life, it's still just, I think it just becomes such a big part of your life, because that's what a long-term partnership is. So like being able to compare a long-term partnership with like being single and trying to prioritize other things, I would say, I think like that, like having the taste of like freedom kind of, or whatever, like if, I think it's really nice to be able to prioritize, like not always have to prioritize like looking for a guy or like trying to go out and date. So it's nice to have free time. I don't know. Maybe that's because I'm newly single, so I'm like, this is so fun. Maybe in like 6 months I'll be sad and lonely and like, I want a boyfriend. But right now I think it's fun. I don't know.
Yeah. So let's talk about like a more specific milestone in a relationship, marriage. So So have you ever thought or experienced in looking for the partner with entirely different cultures? I know that you have talked a lot about the culture barrier, but do you have like, or how do you think about that? If like for a more important milestone of your life in a relationship?
Wait, can you repeat the question?
Oh yeah, so the question is like, have you ever thought, or if you already have experience, but I think Michael maybe that's persons looking for the partner from entirely different cultures and to get married. Yeah. You have to think about that.
So I haven't thought about like
marriage
at all yet. Dating wise, I'm the same as Dima. I barely got out of like a long-term relationship, 2.5 years, and they were from a completely different background. They were Filipino, and not that different. Filipino and Mexicans, we're low-key alike. But it was like very like, I don't know. I never really thought of them as a different person.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I just never thought about marrying yet someone from a different background, because I'm like, once again, I feel like it's gonna be so weird, because we different customs, different like events that would be thrown. It's like we come back once again to the idea of being comfortable, and it's just natural, like you don't have to like change everything once again. So like that's like a hidden problem like for me, like deeply, that I know I'm gonna deal with probably in the future if I'm and do end up marrying someone from a different background. So it's like, I really hadn't put it to consideration, but like it's like, it's and it's like deep right there. It's like rooted deep within the relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, marriage though, I cannot speak on that part because.
Insofar as marriage, I think that there's no reason to rush marriage. I think that me once again, since I'm a little older, I have seen kind of a shift. I realize, and I think it's definitely a good thing, that more women now are kind of decentering the idea of having a relationship from their lives, and the idea that maybe you do, maybe you can have fun in a bunch of different ways, and maybe you don't have to have a long-term relationship for several years or never. And I think that there's no rush to getting married, and marriage isn't for everyone. Having kids isn't for everyone. When it comes to different cultures, I know that there is something that obviously has a huge influence, which is one's family, and in much more, I guess, tightly knit familial cultures, sure, maybe you're not interested in having this relationship, but your mom is, or your grandmother is, or your father, or your brothers, or whomever. And obviously that puts an undue burden onto a person. I think that there's no necessity. I don't think that one should measure one's worth by their partner. That's my position.
How about
your answer?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I just thought about like an interesting observation. Like when I was in high school, I spent my high school in Shanghai, China, and most of my classmates just don't want to get married and don't want kids. And when after I came to college, I just found out like Western culture is a bit different from Asian culture. Like lots of people here, they are not that like hold those negative perspectives towards marriage or having kids. So I'm just wondering, like, do you guys have the feeling? Like, how about your perspectives on having kids and marriage?
Who went to go with this first?
Wait, were you saying that it's more negative when you were in Shanghai?
Yes.
Like, it's exactly. Negative in what way? The people didn't want.
They totally don't want to get married and totally don't want to have kids.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. I would say for me and my friends, I think I have a few friends who are like, oh, I'm never going to get married. I'm just going to travel the world and whatnot. But like most of my friends, especially the ones who have boyfriends, are like, I can't wait for our wedding. And they all like the Pinterest board with like, I'm not going to lie, I definitely have had this at some point. I don't have anymore. But like a Pinterest board with all their like wedding ideas saved and like the dress that they want. I think people, yeah, the idea of like getting married and having kids is definitely still ingrained in like, especially like my female friends, like, and guy friends. I think as my guy friends get older, they're more and more thinking about settling down, getting married. But like in high school, no. But now, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would say it's very different. Like here, like people, they're not negative to the idea of getting married or having kids.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't want kids, but who knows? I always say the thing might change and I don't want to end up lonely. Like, I think I would have a family, but it's like, why is it, I don't understand, why is it like negatively like going down there? Like,
I think one major reason is social pressure, because like if you have kids, you should work a lot to pay the high education fee and also maybe to like devote yourself into like how to make your kid a successful person. Like I think in lots of Asian countries, parents want their kids to be very successful. So yes, I think that's the major difference between Western culture and lots of Asian culture.
Yeah, I want to add some more perspectives to Jessica's point, since I was born and raised in Beijing, China. So I think it has a lot to do with the fact that China is transitioning from, you know, a third world country to like somewhat of a, you know, wealthier country. You know, right now the GDP size is like the second largest in the world. And I think if you look back, you know, 20 years ago, I guess that the social norm in China, I guess, puts a lot of pressure on women, you know, especially married women, to take care of the family. And sometimes they have to work and taking care of the family. And oftentimes the husband, the male figure in the family, you know, it's somewhat are not as responsible, you know, towards family responsibilities compared to the female partner. So I think right now, as like people getting wealthier, you know, and being exposed to this idea of like individualism, like what is the best for myself? Mm-hmm. I think it adds to the fact that, you know, people have this fear of getting married. On top of, you know, the pressure from the social contract of like, if I have a kid in China, you know, like most people probably don't want their kids to be like a blue collar worker, because they think blue collar worker, you know, traditionally are viewed as like a second tier job. Basically, if people can get a office job, it's always like the more prestigious, more ideal. But right now we have, you know, so many people in China, of course, and mm-hmm. we just simply can't, we don't have the economy that can take up, you know, everyone in China and like put them in an office job. It's just impossible. So like right now in this transitioning period, you know, yes, in like the social contract is probably the root cause for what's happening now.
Yeah, that's great. I totally agree about the transitions right now, the transform right now in Asian cultures about to what that perspective. So to be on that story as well, so I would like to contribute my story as well. So I'm from Vietnam, I'm 31 actually. And for me, I think thinking about that is like relate also to different targets in different stage of our life. I think it's, for me, it's like, what is your target at that time that you should follow it? So maybe it's not at that time about the marriage or having a kid. We can always find that later. So coming to the last questions about today's podcast, and also but not least. So entering a journey from like starting a relationship, maintaining a relationship, and transitioning to marriage, how do you think about like building and maintain healthy relationships along that journey? Yes.
Definitely the any relationship that's not built on respect and communication is a relationship that is destined to fail. I think that a lot of men think that maybe if they're alpha enough, or you know, they have a strong enough personality, the woman is going to just follow the man's lead, and that might work for some people for some amount of time, but I think it doesn't work in the long term. Kind of going back to what you're saying, I think that the reason why there is so much frustration in relationships is because the world has changed, but not the perception of how relationships have changed. Women are still expected to do all the womanly duties on top of all the man duties, and the fact that it was an imperfect system, obviously it was terrible, but it was a system where the man worked, the woman kept care of the home. However, now the woman is working and taking care of the home. So even if maybe the woman feels that she should be doing this, I think there might be this voice in the back of her head saying, why is my husband just playing video games? this place is dirty. He's not picking up after himself. And I think that we need to, us as men, I think we need to kind of come to grips with the fact that if the woman is going to be, that the world has changed, and we need to change too with relationships, period. That's it.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I have something to add on top of Michael's point, and I totally agree. You know, relationships, if you want to maintain a long-term stable relationship, you know, the relationship, you know, has to have a lot of, you know, mutual respect and some sort of like a reciprocity. And like the way that, you know, I treat relationship or how to treat my girlfriend, it's, you know, I oftentimes think, you know, I should treat my girlfriend in the same way as if, you know, she's a business partner of mine. You know, I can't possibly think, you know, she is my, I don't know, future wife or girlfriend, because oftentimes, You know, like I do think that I have this sort of you know, like mindset or whatever, that, you know, there are some duties that are, you know, in Michael's word, womanly duty, and some are man's duty. But oftentimes I don't think it should be that way. So, you know, having this mindset, or trying to, you know, have this mindset help me to combat this, I don't know, like culturally entrenched mindset that there is a male duty and a female duty. But I don't think the role should operate that way. Basically, in terms of like cooking or cleaning up, you know, it's always half and half. And I think that's the best way. Because like, if you were to have a business partner, of course, you know, if you have a 50-50, you know, like equity share, for instance, like, you know, like you guys should be contributing the same amount. And yeah, I think so far it's been working pretty well for me. Yeah.
Okay, wait, so I agree and I disagree. I agree because like, I think some things should be like, yeah, one person shouldn't be cooking all the food, or like, I don't know, someone always doing all the cleaning, the other person not. But I also think it's nice and spent. Like, some things are nice when one person does it for the other, and like, I don't know, some things are like sweet and special. Like, thinking about like first dates, just because like I've been on some first dates, I feel like it's nice when the guy like plans a date, and like they choose the place and they pick you up and they open the door. And like, yes, maybe it's old fashioned, but like, because my relationship was very equal, and like, so it wasn't really like that in many ways. But now, like, experiencing that, I'm like, wait, this is nice. Like, it's nice to be treated in this way. It's really sweet. Obviously, like, not to say that, like, I don't know, like, obviously, like, women should do special things for, like, men, too. And I think, like, there's a balance there.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, there should be things that are just, like, special and, like, not, like, oh, everything's 50-50. We're business partners. Because then sometimes you lose, like, the special, I don't know, the things that make your relationship, like, really, like, exciting, and that spark and the chemistry, which I think is what happened in my other relationship, is that it was so 50-50 to the point where I was just, like, I don't know, like, just, like, take me on a date. Like, not, like, we were going on dates, but I always felt like we were, what are we doing for our date? Where it's, like, sometimes you want to be surprised, and you want someone to be, like, we're going on a date, like, just get dressed, like, we're leaving in an hour. I don't know. That's my take. I think it's nice to have those things.
My take is, I view my parents' relationship a lot. So it's like, and also, like, any... relationships are something very, like, strong in Mexico, because that's where I grew up. And I view a lot of, like, relationship advice from my mom and my dad's relationship themselves. They're married and everything. But I agree with Dima. I just feel like it shouldn't be 50-50. Because they did that, and they... there's no affection there. Like, I've been told my parents, there is no affection at all. They are, like, literally business partners. At that time. Like, it's, like, me and my brothers and my sister, we are the like, equity thing. We are that. Like, they are taking care of us, and they're, like, shaking their, like, agreement. Agreement. And I truly do agree. And also, I'm going to agree off Anson's and Michael's point of view. Because in Mexico, it's called machismo. Machismo is a huge, strong thing where... it's a masculine term, basically meant that it's like a man acting like they're the tough, big old guy in this situation, like, oh, like, don't worry, I got it and everything. Like, no, people don't like that no more. And that's what I like about, like, this new upcoming generation, that being equal is, yes, good, but they understand, like, there are moments where we need to, like, take action one person to the other. Like, okay, this is the situation that I'm gonna take on my own and make it, like, meaningful. Because I see my parents, and I'm like, I don't want to end up like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to end up in a moment where I'm like, dang, like, there's no true love, there's no affection. Like, why did I get married? Why did I enter this relationship? Why did I have kids with this person? So it all falls under the point of view, like, societal norms, gender norms, that a man has to do this, a woman has to do this. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's so stressful. So I feel like that's where a point of view comes from. Like, it was with me and my relationship, which is why it ended. It was like, we didn't know what to do. It was like, okay, at this point, there's no more, there's no more, like, passion in this relationship. Like, we should just end it right here, right now. Because I don't, like, I fear that I'm going to end up in the same position as my parents. Mm-hmm. And that's something I believe, like, I'm first generation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh my gosh, like, me viewing all this, me going through this whole new country and everything, like, seeing how people live life here is very different from how people live life in Mexico. It's like, what's going on? And yeah, I just feel like I'm in the middle. I'm like, I agree and I disagree, and yeah, a lot of it has to do with my parents' own relationship, and I feel like that's where it's like masculine. It's, I believe it's what society places their mindsets on, because it's the age that they grew up on. They don't understand our mind points and our mind of views, because still to this day, my mom picks up the plates for my dad. I'm like, yo, like, come on. I'm like, you can easily pick up your plate. I told her, like, you can pick up your plate and take it to yourself. Like, take it to the kitchen, clean it. And mom's like, no, it's your dad. He, like, works for the house. I'm like, girl, you do the same thing. I'm like, you work and you take care of your children. Like, my dad has just worked. Like, I love my dad. Don't think that I don't love him. My dad just works. He just works. Didn't have time to, like, be with, like, my siblings and us. Like, he would just work. While my mom, she was, like, the both parents in one figure. She was mom and dad at the same time. She was working, she would leave work if we had a situation in school. We got sick, she would leave work and come here. Oh, now me and my brothers are grown. Okay, we take care of my little brother. She goes to work and still comes take care of us. I'm like,
yeah.
It's like a moment like, dang, what is this? So I'm like, that's also why I'm scared of relationships. And I'll be honest, I think that's why I left this relationship,
mm-hmm.
this long-term relationship, because I was just scared,
mm-hmm.
out of fear. And I feel like that's where like societal norms was placed upon me, and it just like freaked me out. I just got scared.
Yeah, I see. So what I can say is like it's a transition between different stage in a relationships where the progress is different. So what do you think about that? I feel like it's in the first when we just entering in a relationships, the women's always like refer. And it's bad to like focus on like being care more than like when we more like get to know each other's, you know, real relationships and share the work. So that's what I can see from the perspective of you, just on that topic. So we come to the final things in this relationship is about divorce for sure. So it's coming very common nowadays in any cultures as we understand. So our datings are like perk in dating. So what do you think about that issues nowadays?
And just to add on, like,
yeah,
I think also there's a difference between Western culture and Asian culture. Like, I think in lots of Asian countries, divorce rate is lower than in, like, for example, in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I think, like, in the US, lots of family, they just saw if they lose the passion between each other, they will just divorce. But in China, like, lots of people, they will think, like, we have kids, and we should, like, take care of our kids, so we should maintain the family in order to let our kids to grow in a healthy environment. Yeah, so I think that's an interesting point to talk about a little bit, yeah.
I can go off that. So, basically, that's the situation my parents are in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's no passion, there's no love. I'm like, at that point, it's mom and dad. Like, it's not my parents. Like, it's mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the same thing, because I do understand that, like, they don't want to divorce because they want to maintain the family together. But it gets tiring, because I feel like they should understand that it affects the kid. I always look at what it affects after, and I feel like it's affecting their kids, because they're seeing this relationship with no love, no passion. It's just mom and dad, like, forcing themselves to stay in something that's gone. Like, it's diminished. Like, there's nothing else there. And that's what my parents were doing, and I told them, like, you guys are, like, not together. I'm like, we all know, bro. Like, it's all good. Like, even I told them, and I tell my friends, I'm like, yeah, it's my mom and dad. I never refer them to my parents. Like, no, they're like my mom and dad. Like, that's it. Because I'm like, there's my mom and there's my dad. Like, I feel like that should make it clear to people that, like, oh, they're not together. But I'm like, they are, but they're forcing themselves to be together. Like, we live in the same house and everything. Like, they just say hi and bye to each other. I was like, I don't remember last time I had a full family dinner sitting down with them. So it's like, so I'm like, that's where I'm like, I just feel like it affects the children. If they have a family and they want to stick the family, I think it's better if they just get a divorce. And they make it clear and they communicate well with the whole family as a whole. Like, okay, this is going to happen. Because I feel like that's also something in Mexico that's kind of shamed upon. I don't know if it's within Asian culture too, because with my ex-partner, they were Filipino. It was shamed upon being like, oh, you broke up, why? It's probably your fault. Even through a divorce, oh, why is there a divorce? Like, that's bad. That's bringing bad juju to your family. So it's like something really strong within Mexican culture, but it's also become common because, like, getting a divorce, it's sad to say, but it makes you happy. Or like literally getting, like leaving the relationship. Cause it like understands like, okay, it's gonna take a while for people to understand why did you go through that like long process, that stage and everything. Like after so much devotion you put to this person that you literally married them, you need to be happy at that point. Like you cannot put yourself in a position where you feel like, oh, I have to force myself to do this. It's like, for example, in college, we all have, within Latino, Asian, whatever, what are the top common stigmatisms that they put on us that we have to major within our families? Pre-med, pre-law, engineering.
Yeah, and maybe like you could become like a banker.
That's basically what
the shame won't be that much.
That's basically what this is. You don't want to do it because that was my dream. My dream was to become a writer and a dancer. That was my dream.
Aww.
But being put into this position, I'm literally like in this moment, I'm like I don't want to do this, but I have to because it's like, I want to maintain my success, happy and everything, but am I going to be happy because I gave up something that like there are moments where I literally want to break it. So I did break it. I'm like, I'm not going to go into policy or like anything like that. I'm not going to follow the stereotypes or anything. Like I'm doing what I want to do and I'm taking English and NSA race studies. And oh, you should have seen the reaction my mom had. My mom was like, that's not going to get you anything. And I'm like, girl, trust. I'm so pre-law, trust. But I told her, I love what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like I broke up with that common stereotype, and I truly do love it. So I feel like marriage and divorcing and everything is something that brings happiness. That's my disappointment. Like,
that's interesting.
Once you have an idea, should I get a divorce? It's over. Like, get it. Like, you're done. You should not have the idea if you're happy, truly.
Right. And also, like, about for the kids, like, I think your situation is almost just worse for the kids because if you have like clarity, like you understand that your parents got a divorce for whatever reasons and they communicated with the kids, then the kids like have an understanding that like for their own lives, like you're saying like it's affected the way you view your relationships. But if you view relationships based on two parents who lack love but just are like functionally like taking care of you, then your example for your life like is gonna be pretty messed up. Whereas like if you understand that they got a divorce and that's not really how like maybe that's not the relationship you want, or it makes it easier to distinguish in your own brain, like, what you want for your life versus, like, you know, what happened to your parents, like, because, yeah, that example is just so confusing, and we absorb so much from our parents, like, even if the divorce was when we were, like, five-year-olds, like, that affects our future relationships, so, like, I think it makes sense, like, for the happiness of the parents, so they don't have to like see each other's face every day if they hate each other, and also for the happiness of your kids, so that they don't like just repeat these generational cycles of like bad relationships.
Yeah, so I think the end of any kind of relationship is not like a bad thing at all. It's just one door closed, another door open. So if we keep looking for positive things,
it
will definitely come.
Yeah, because getting out of the relationship I am now.
Yeah.
It low-key made me happy.
Yeah.
Because I learned to like, it's weird, I know, it's weird. But because I learned how to love my alone time. I've always felt like I needed someone by my side because I'm like, have my parents by my side, my siblings by my side.
Yeah.
I never really had time to be alone.
Yeah.
And then like getting out of that relationship, I'm like, it hurt, but then I'm like, wait, I finally like, as Zima said in the beginning, I have free time for myself now. It's like, I don't have to worry about any other person. And I'm like, that's actually really beneficial for someone to learn how to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sucks, but
loving yourself,
that's the main thing. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to function in a relationship. That's all I'm going to say. I feel like that's where I went wrong.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, thank you very much for joining us today about the topic of multicultural relationships. I do think that we have a very diverse and interesting perspective on these issues. So that's conclude our podcast today. So see you in the next podcast.